Good evening, everybody. It's Justin Kaufman here. Download on WGN Radio 720. Hope you're having a great night. Thanks for being with us. Sucks the Hawks lost. But you know what? As I was just telling my producer, Pete, you got to let Boston win once in a while. You know, or they just get just antsy, you know, and they know it. They know the Red Sox are going to be terrible this year. They just know it. So they got to win. And you know what? The Blackhawks, if they just keep winning, you know they're going to come up with a tax or something, like a winning tax that the Hawks are going to have to pay. So they have to lose once in a while. That's the way I see it. We got a short show tonight. Patty Vasquez coming up at 11. Coming up after the news, it's 10:30. We're going to talk about the Chicago Charity Challenge. It's an interesting way to get your business involved in raising money for charity and really kind of taking charity work and turning it into sport. We've seen more and more sort of charity work become creative. The Ice Bucket Challenge leads the list, but other things we've seen as well, you know, growing facial hair, whatever it is. There seems to be more and more emphasis and energy putting into creative ways to raise money for local charities. So we're going to talk about that movement and what they're doing at the Chicago Charity Challenge, which is really turning sort of charitable donations into sport. So we'll talk with people from that coming up after 10:30. But first, why don't we do the carry out? This is the nightly segment where I read the newspaper, so you at home, you don't have to. Here are today's top stories. Dick Durbin joins the chorus of Illinois Democrats that have endorsed Kim Fox for state's attorney. Durbin joins Tony Preckwinkle, Most Alderman, the Black Caucus in Springfield, both Chicago newspapers. Even Lovie Smith was like, Kim Fox is our quarterback. On the other hand, incumbent Anita Alvarez has the support of herself. I mean, she lent herself some more money. She had Luis Gutierrez, but he bailed. She had the Cook County Democrats, but they bailed. So who's left? Did the custodian from the state's attorney's office weigh in yet? He did? Oh, he rescinded as well? How about Roland Burris? Did anybody ask Roland Burris? When all else fails, ask with Roland Burris. He's like, yeah, I'll endorse you. I'm good. That was a big day in education today. So let me get this straight. The House passed a bill to enact an elected school board, which the mayor and the CPS officials hate, of course, and the Chicago Teachers Union loves. So what happens next? CPS comes out of nowhere and says that teachers have to take 3 unpaid furlough days before the end of the year. Then CTU comes out and says, nah, I think we'll strike instead, April 1st. So it's kind of like, if you think about it, it's kind of like gang wars. It's like one gang shoots, the other retaliates, then they retaliate after retaliation. You retaliate, 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 retaliate. The next thing you know, I mean, we're called too dangerous a city to visit by bath salt smelling Floridians. That's kind of where we're at. But I mean, think about it. I was just kind of going over my head. A strike, a teacher strike, would be April 1st. It's March, what, 3rd? That's not a long time. You factor in Easter is in March. St. Patrick's Day, you're going to be drunk for like 4 days. Before you know it, it's going to be April 1st. And it's not going to be an easy strike either. If there's a strike, it's not going to be one of these 3-hour, yeah, we're just joking around, let's sign on the dotted line. No, they're going to make it. They're going to spread it out. What was the last one? 5 or 6 days? Yeah, and I mean, both sides, you know, there's blame to go around. CPS, surprisingly, Forrest Claypool came out and said it's Bruce Rauner's fault. Bruce Rauner needs to form, you know, he has to come up with a new formula for funding education. CTU comes out and says it's CPS's fault. You know, they're holding it over our head. They're going to try to take away the 7% buy-in, which is essentially, for pensions, is essentially a pay cut. They're now doing surprise furlough days. This is all payback because the elected school board issue was a big issue that the Chicago Teachers Union has been advocating for. Ay, ay, ay. This is not a good situation. Is not. And it was a busy day in Springfield. The House couldn't override the governor's veto on MAP grant funding, so they just made a new last-minute bill to fund higher ed in Illinois. You know, which is what you do. It's like after 6:30 at night. There was a big issue in the newspapers, like after 6:45. Like, that's the cutoff. Everyone's eating pasta in downtown Springfield. They're like, what? Who the? Mike Madigan did what? It's 6:45. And which just leads into my next thing, which is good thing that they got that down, even though Governor Rauner said he's going to veto that as well. But after today, or I think it's this week. Yeah, today's Thursday. It's get out day. It's spring break for the State House. They are on break through the March 15th primary. They do not come back to Springfield until April. That is a month, Pete. They get a spring break as a month if you are a state representative. It's good if you can get it, right? Can I guess the package? What kind of time do you get off?
Well, we don't give a lot of days off. You don't work Mondays. You don't work Fridays. You don't work the weekends. You don't work past 6:45. You get a month off in March. You get all the summer off. You get November, December for Christmas. January, Martin Luther King Day. February, we're big into love, Valentine's Day. So you work like 14 days if Mike Madigan and Bruce Rauner say it's okay. Come on, man. That's ridiculous. Get back to work. Like, that'd be one thing that Bruce Rauner could do. He could be like, nope, no, we're not taking the time off. Everybody's got to stay in Springfield. And they'd be like, oh, and they would sign on a dotted line in 2 seconds. Everyone would be like, all right, the budget's balanced. Can we please go back to Hinsdale now? It's ridiculous. All right, I guess we should talk Donald Trump. Big GOP debate tonight, which seems to cap the Destroy Trump Day of the GOP establishment. Romney and McCain went after him. And the other candidates went after him. It's starting to feel like it's either Trump goes or the GOP votes Hillary. Whoa! Oh, my God, I think I just smelled some of those bath salts. Did I just say what I think I just said? Could you imagine? Like, I'd love to have, like, a GoPro cam in the ballot, you know, in the little booth. When the little thing is coming down and his hand is shaking, the Republican establishment hand is shaking, and it says Trump, Clinton. They're like, I'm going to hit Clinton. I guess it makes sense if you think about it, because Hillary's a Republican. So I think that's why you're seeing a lot of Democrats vote for Senator Sanders, because they know that Hillary is pretty much going to negotiate herself to. She's a Demopublican. She's in that area. So either they vote for a Demopublican or they vote for Donald Trump. But it's amazing. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen such party disdain. I mean, they're giving an ultimatum. They're like, either take Trump down or we're not going to vote for him in the general election. That's crazy. I mean, it's I've never seen anything like it. I'm young. You know, I've only my first election was Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow. So I understand. I haven't been around that long, right? But that's crazy.
I think they do claim that they will, even like John Kasich has said that he will support Trump if he gets the nominee.
Well, they were saying today, which it totally makes sense to me, the playbook. Mitt Romney went and made this big, you know, speech today insulting Donald Trump up and down.
Yeah.
And essentially laying the groundwork or strategy, platform, playbook, whatever you call it, for the Democrats in the general election. Like, they said, you know how many times you're going to see Mitt Romney on stage in a stupid commercial in October? You know, in Fraired, black and white with the eyes coming out. It's like, he's insulting. Terrible.
And so I watched most of the Romney, actually all of it. And at some point he went off on, you know, Trump being a bad businessman and saying, you know, like doing the Trump steak, the Trump university, the Trump vodka. And I'm like, oh, he must have watched John Oliver too. He was like, it was like he was right. Copying John Oliver's thing that he did on Sunday.
He probably had his speech or someone wrote it for Mitt Romney, and then he came back in and he threw it at somebody. He's like, yeah, this is not Oliver enough. He's already done this. Give me more Oliver. That's how we're going to get to these kids. And put something in there about the 47%. What was his thing about the...
Yeah, the 40...
Was this 47? What was... I feel like that's...
Yeah, the secret video?
Yeah, right.
The secret video at the banquet or whatever. Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite moments in all of politics. The secret video.
Like behind a plant. You see the plant was
there. Someone's got their phone, like, secret video time. We're going to make this a big thing. When I worked at when I worked at WBEZ, when Obama wrote a book. He wrote a book, and he was on one of the shows. He was on Odyssey, a show we had. This was when he was a state senator. Mm-hmm. And it was about...
Was it before or after his Check, Please appearance that they always keep on trotting out?
It might have been the same.
Around the same time.
But it was a very, very particular conversation about, like, it was constitutional scholar. It was something big. Mm-hmm. And he lays out the groundwork of what he thinks the country should be. It's a very socialist kind of how he should, they should give back wealth. Essentially, that was the whole thing. He was very articulate, but it was about, you know, giving back wealth or sharing wealth, mm-hmm. you know, thing. And... that audio was grabbed in 2008. Like this, it was done in 2001, or you know, like before he was even, let's say 1990 something, 2000. And so they had like clipped it, like they had found it and clipped it out of context and put it on a bunch of YouTube videos that went around in 2008. And that was like the big thing. Like, see, Obama's
That's
a socialist.
Do,
That's
yeah.
where it came from. It was from a Chicago radio station. Huh. Yeah, it was like all this stuff, and it was funny to be there going. Really? Like, wow, this actually got some traction. Nobody listened to it on the Tuesday morning that we aired it, and it's time, but now it's getting, and it's so great the way it's all clipped together real nice in these weird YouTube videos. So I hope we have some of that. I hope we have more of that. The Romney's going to be that for the next one. All right, so let's take a break. We come back. Let's talk sports here on The Download, 720 WGN. It's a download here on WGN Radio with you till 11 o'clock tonight. I'm Justin Kaufman. Shortened show. I kind of do an extended carry out where I read the newspaper so you don't have to. Speaking of newspapers, the Sun-Times got a new website. How about that, huh? This on the same day that Michael Farrell puts his ownership stake in a trust to avoid a conflict of interest. I like the new Sun-Times site, but I'm confused. Where's the green survey that I have to take asking me about my mortgage? Before I can read the rest, do you will you vote Republican? Yeah, I guess so. Good. Can I read the rest of this article about Derrick Rose? How much he sucks. I feel like I have Stockholm syndrome where I'm like, I love pop-up ads. I can't read news without pop-up ads. When I went through the site, I'm like, where are all the ads? I wish it was still here. I miss my old crappy suntimes.com. I can't read my news without another page popping up and playing weird commercials in the background where I don't know where the sound's coming from. Ay, ay, ay. In weather, it snowed last night. Will it snow again? Rest assured, when it does, the download will make sure you know about it with our super secret snow tracker that we can't tell you anything about. It changes the game, though. It's a game changer in weather. All we can say is there will be more snow. Snow. Live at 10. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Have you been paying attention to that, Pete?
I have.
Weird kind of local news is like, I don't even know what to say. They won't divulge what the snow tracker that's going to change mm-hmm. the game is.
Exciting.
Are you excited? You big weather guy? Mm-hmm. Do you tune in just for the weather? You a 1018 kind of guy?
We
just missed it.
I'm a skilling guy,
okay.
So I tune in between, you know, if I'm home, I'll tune in between 9:15 and 9:45, and I'm pretty safe. You know, skilling will have 25 of those minutes.
Yeah.
And then for a brief...
Yeah, exactly.
Brief,
they changed the game. I'm more of a Jerry... I love skilling. Skilling's still my guy. He's been my guy forever. But Jerry Taft, I mean, come on.
Taft is a good... Yeah,
Taft is a 10:18 kind of guy. They get done with that Gowdy piece. They go right into Taft. My favorite is Summer Taft, where you could tell he's just like, I need to get rid of this so I can get home and ready to go back out on my boat tomorrow.
He's a big golfer. He always talking about the golf. And then I used to work over there, so I used to see the, you know, in the ABC building. And during the summer, it was great because it'd be like 6 o'clock, or 6:25, he just finishes 6:25 hit or whatever, and he's out there in his shorts and his polo shirt, just like soaking in the last remnants of summer, and then in short, you know, just shorts and a polo shirt. Like that's how quickly he got out of his suit.
That's great.
And then
that should be our thing, you know. Like people should come out here at 11 o'clock to see how quick we get out of our suits. You know, like we're out here with the lawn chair. If it's a different time, like yeah, I mean, I would love to be that guy who like has a change of like golf shorts in the office.
Yeah,
you know, like
that's a Taft guy. Yeah, that's
you know, Taft's got like 6 or 7 suits he's got in his closet in his office, and he's like, he comes in, puts it on, hangs it back up, on his way, working on his swing. Anyway, snow. All right, sports. The Hawks lost tonight. Like I said, that's okay. You got to let some teams, other teams, win. They'll start complaining. You know, if you beat everybody, then they'll start to be like, nobody likes you because you win too much. You don't want to be that team, right?
No, nobody likes that team.
Nobody likes that. It's like the New England Patriots where you're like, nobody likes you because you win too much. So the Hawks have to lose a little bit so people are like, hey, you never know, and then they're going to win it all. The White Sox and Cubs played their first games of the season today. John Danks pitched a solid 2 innings.
Nice.
That's part of the course, regular season, John Danks. Danks was a workhorse for a long time, man. I read a great article. He's really, really high paid. You know this? That John Danks is like, because he signed a contract right before he blew his arm out. And he gets paid a ton of money. He's paid a left-hander's salary. And so he hasn't lived up to that contract because he hasn't been able. Last year he was kind of working back from whatever, Tommy John or whatever it was. So there's a lot of expectation on him adding, almost being a 4 or 5 starter for the Sox this weekend or this year, and actually adding some value. So, but he's always the guy who's like, oh, my God, I had him in fantasy. I always would go for it. He'd do 4 or 5 innings of, like, great.
Yeah.
And wow. And then it was that Esteban Loaiza 6th inning stuff where you're like, it all unravels. That's the White Sox curse.
Yeah.
6 innings, a great ball, 2 outs in the 6th. Oh, there's a single. Up, there's an error. Up, it's 4-0. You're like, oh, man. Jake Peavy was like that, too. It's like it's a Sox thing. So, yeah. True. The Cubs lost to the Brewers. Javi Baez played a poor center field.
That's what I read, yeah.
Of course, the Brewers, like, I didn't know you could do this in baseball, but they, like, the first inning, they just all hit it to center field, giving way to the idea that this is a random game. Like, they can't hit the center if they want to.
It's like in softball or Little League when you have, you know, the kid that can't play, you know that he's out and right, and everybody tries to hit that way.
Oh, that's the worst in softball.
Yeah.
That's a faux pas. Like, when your number 3 hitter comes up. And they've got, like, they look around, and your right fielder is a woman who's out to have a good time in the game.
Right.
And they turn their stance a little bit,
go
down the line to right field.
What's worse
is that the fence at those parks stop at right center field.
Right, exactly.
So right field is completely open, so the ball continues to roll for about 5 more miles. Meanwhile, everybody's back at the barbecue because you're still chasing the ball. The game's been called.
Not to disparage other players in our league, but Jimmy Greenfield at Chicago Now used to do that stuff.
Yeah.
Such a good player. And he could hit the right field, and he would just do it every time and be like, darn it, stop doing that on purpose.
Yeah, that is a big pet peeve.
Yeah, that's the worst. Softball player who purposely hits the right field, the worst. Right?
I'm a lefty, and I used to hit to left field.
Did you do it on purpose?
I did it on purpose. Not because a bad player was there, because they'd always shift.
Oh,
you know, they would think I was, you know, like, look at me. I'm nothing but a pull hitter. You can tell by looking at me.
Right when I look at you, you know, like pull hitter.
And then, I used to see, you know,
but why
like,
would you shift? I don't understand why anyone would shift with a left-hander up. Maybe I would switch the right fielder and have them play like left or maybe switch, but I would never shade that way.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. The Bulls lost again last night to the Magic. Who loses to the Magic?
That's
such
Bulls.
Is Anthony Hardaway still playing on that team? Jimmy Butler could be back this weekend when they take on the Rockets, which I saw one of the basketball writers on Twitter say the Rocks, ROX. Butler could be back on the rock for the Rocks game. I'm like, what is? I don't even know what that is. It took me like 5 minutes to be like, what's that short for? I couldn't figure it out. And when I figured it out, I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't do it. Just say Rockets.
It was a character thing.
Yeah,
he had
like,
to get under 140
characters. It must have been, or it just it's like cool. It's like slang cool.
Yeah.
Maybe in Houston that's a thing. Yeah. They call them the Rocks.
Rocks.
Watch out, box of rocks.
They probably do in Houston. It's terrible.
Terrible. All right, more to come here on the download. Stay with us. Welcome back to the download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, raising money for charity is nothing new. But it seems like the competition for those dollars has become much more creative. Whether it's the ice bucket challenges or growing facial hair, it seems more and more charities are looking for new ways to raise money. Enter the Chicago Charity Challenge, which really turns giving into sport. Stacey Rago is the executive director of the Chicago Charity Challenge, and she joins us tonight. Stacey, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
And Tom Colton, who's the president of Colecraft, a company that makes baby products like crib mattresses and strollers. The offices
seen
are
it,
here in Chicago, in West Loop.
Talk to farmers.
About 70 people.
We know
and they're celebrating
we've seen
their
it.
70th anniversary this year. Colecraft is the challenge's grand prize winner of the 2015 Chicago Charity Challenge. Tom, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start right with the why the Chicago Charity Challenge.
Sure. The mission of the Chicago Charity Challenge is to motivate and inspire Chicago area businesses and their employees to give back. And we do it through participating in an annual competitive challenge. Businesses compete by teaming up with a nonprofit of their choice and engaging their employees to volunteer and fundraise through the year. Money awards are then granted to the charity partner of companies that contribute the most time or money, or they make the greatest impact on a social issue or a lower-income community.
So no obstacle courses.
No.
That was my first question
off
the box.
If that's the way you want to raise money, you go
you
for
can do
it.
That. The old battle of the network stars.
That's right.
Tom, why did you get your company involved in this?
For us, it was a no-brainer. We donate money to the March of Dimes. That's our charity of choice. We're not donating money to the Chicago Charity Challenge.
Correct.
They're like a clearinghouse. So if we raise more money and have more hours of volunteer time, we can win a prize that then we can give to the March of Dimes.
Okay.
So it was a no-brainer. So we might as well do it. It didn't cost us anything.
So talk about what – let's talk about the challenge itself. Like what did you do to win the grand prize?
We won the prize. We awarded it because of the amount of money we raised and the amount of volunteer hours that our employees gave back. We had 100% participation between people giving money and or donating time.
I think there was an additional element for them as the award winner or the grand prize winner, and that was the creativity that they used. There aren't a lot of volunteer opportunities to work with babies in the neonatal ICU.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't get in there. But they were really creative. They did things like making blankets for these families before or after work or at lunchtime, or they had Twitter parties where they talked about having healthy
babies. So it's not just about how much money you raise or how many volunteered hours. It's about how creative you are in putting together the challenge.
Absolutely. We really want to see a strong partnership between the nonprofit and the company to see how they can use both of their skills to their greatest ability to make the greatest impact.
Let me ask you this, because I kind of mentioned at the beginning about the ice bucket challenge and even people growing facial hair. It seems like more and more you're seeing creativity thrown towards charity challenges around the globe. Why do you think that's happening? I mean, and are all of them successful?
It's a good question. Recently, there was a study that showed that the third question that candidates for jobs are asking now is, what is your company doing to make a difference in the community? This puts a certain amount of pressure on companies to do something and to really think about what their impact is going to be. In order to win that war for talent, they start to get more creative. And I think it's a great thing.
My third question was, is there parking? So I guess that worked out. But let me ask you, Tom, I mean, do you feel that from the employees that work at Colecraft? I mean, do you feel like they're interested in what you're doing to give back to the community?
Yes. Most employees, a lot of employees actually give to their own charity. So when they find out that we're giving to a charity, they think it's beneficial. We feel it's important to give back. I was raised that way, and fortunately, we're in a position where we can give back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we think about babies all day long. So does March of Dimes. So it's just a perfect fit. So it's been great.
Okay, so you boast 100% involvement with your company, which I find to be unbelievable. How do you get that kind of involvement when you're talking about 70 employees at your company?
Well, we make it fun. We take the company, we break it up into four teams. And we have a week-long competition.
See, competition's king. I'm telling you.
Types of things from an airplane toss competition or a beanbag tournament. People can bake chili or they can bake desserts, and then they sell them. So some people might just be selling cookies while someone else is actually going on the walk. So not everyone participates on
right.
the walk itself,
right.
but we get enough employees and they bring family and friends. We might have 40 or 50 people out there. So by having the competition all week long, it's fun. And so at the end of each day, we tabulate how each team is doing. And so you know where you stand, so you want to beat your competitors. And that increases the competition and the amount of money
Stacey,
that we raised.
Stacey, let me ask you. I mean, there are other companies, too, that obviously were competing for this grand prize winnings. But talk about what they were doing, too. Do you see the same kind of thing where competition and the way that they're energizing, motivating their employees are similar to what Tom's doing?
There's certainly a great element to that. A lot of companies have a sales culture where competition really is the motivator for them coming to work in the morning. So they're already there in their minds. Mm-hmm. But each team is unique, and we encourage that. Because it's a year-long relationship, you can be really creative and think, you know, what is it about these two teams that would make it be a more symmetry
right,
to that.
Right.
So, for example, Latham & Watkins, the law firm, was one of our winners as well this year. And they have a whole different skill set, right? They're attorneys. They can do pro bono volunteering, and they certainly did that. But they also used their entire IT department, redid a website for their nonprofit. So whatever the skills are that you have in your company, that's what you want to bring to bear to benefit your charity.
One thing is about getting people involved. I mean, obviously, you know, you're just getting 100% commitment into this. What if there's somebody who doesn't want to participate, who says, you know what, charity's not my thing? You know, how do you deal with that when you're like, you're on the red team, you're on the blue team. Joe, go home. Like, what do you do?
No, like I said, there isn't any pressure. I think people get caught up in it. You have your team. You kind of strategize what you're going to do. We've had teams go outside the box and say, you know, go on the PA system and say, okay, 3 o'clock, come down. We're going to sell ice cream or hot cocoa if it's a cold day. Oh, that's clever. And they raise some extra money. So if someone doesn't want to contribute, that's fine, or participate. But we find everyone gets caught up in the spirit of it.
I want to share something about that, because I really see corporate volunteering almost as the gateway drug to volunteerism. There's a lot of people who volunteer with their company that aren't volunteers in their head, but they do it because maybe they get the day off, or the boss really want them to be seen by the boss, or whatever. There's a multitude of reasons why an employee is going to volunteer. Once they volunteer, a lot of them go, wow, I really like this, and they become a volunteer. Most people who are out there volunteering already, their volunteer is great.
Right.
They're easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the ones that aren't that's the beauty of this competition, that you've got a team-building reason to do it, you've got a lot of other reasons to do it, but in the end, they can become a volunteer.
And you're really focusing on the business owner, the business that's going to put together a culture for volunteerism at the place, not necessarily the person who works at places like, hey, I want to help out. Where can I go, you know, recycle newspapers or whatever?
Right. That's
what my parents made me do when I was like 9
years
old.
Recycle newspapers?
Yeah, recycle newspapers. Go to the truck that was in the parking lot, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's our focus, is really engaging company and corporate employees. A lot of times, by the way, it is the employee that will bring this to their company and say, I think this is something we should do. But definitely we look at it from the big picture.
Do you have a lot of employees that come forward, Tom, with ideas of what the next thing should be or what the next thing should be?
Well, they come forward with ideas of how to support the March of Dimes. So, for example, we were talking before, for this year we're doing a pie in the face. We're going to bid on certain people in the company, and then you get to throw a pie in their face.
Poor Joe.
Yeah, right.
One guy, you know, one.
Yeah, we got some people that maybe want to get a payback, and
it's going to drive it up.
And I think one other thing that works for us, we bring in a mission family. So we bring in a local family that has had a premature baby. And they get up there and they talk about their experience. And sometimes they've had twins and maybe they lost one of the twins. I mean, there isn't a dry eye in the house. So people understand where the money goes and how it helps.
Well, with Colecraft, that's what you do. I mean, you do baby products.
Correct.
You do. So it's a little easier one-to-one to say, we're going to give money to March of Dimes. We're going to give to causes that may have to do with neonatal,
right,
that kind of thing. Is it that easy for everybody else? I mean, you mentioned the law firm. I mean, they're a little bit more like, what are we going to do? Are we going to bring little lawyers in? Like,
well, that's kind of the beauty of it. Maybe they don't want to spend all their time with lawyers.
Right.
With another example, Associated Agencies was one of our winners, and they partnered with the Jared Payton Foundation. Jared Payton Foundation works on anti-bullying messaging, and their business has nothing to do with that. But what a great opportunity to hear from people who have been bullied or who are impacted by these programs, and they also have those opportunities.
Let me ask you this as we wrap up. The concept overall, you know, of volunteering. Think about how much it's done on our own. I mean, obviously people do it to help out so many different ways. But again, it has a lot further to go. It's not something that people feel is mandatory to their lives, or they feel like they even, you know,
it's not volunteering.
Then it's not volunteering. So, but let me ask you about just the
what you think it needs to, what needs to be done to get more people to volunteer on the causes that are important to the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois?
I think that the deeper dive that we encourage in our organization is really what makes the greatest impact on people in their hearts and makes a volunteer, like I said earlier. When you really can meet the family of a premature baby, or you can talk to somebody who's impacted, that's when you go, I have to do more. And the other thing to consider is, you know, right now we're in a place in our state where these a lot of these nonprofits are not doing well because state funding is being cut. And to have companies step up and employees of companies step up, it really helps everybody. The employees feel great about working with their company. The people who do business with that company feel great about the business they're doing, that they're working with or buying from. And our community benefits. There's so many wins here that the more people think about that and have the initial experience, the more I think it's gonna start to take off.
Tom, why do you volunteer?
We want to give back. It's the way I was raised, and so because we're
What's important? Why? I mean, you're raised that way, which is great. But what is it? What does it bring out in you?
For me, it just feels good. I mean, it's just to help someone else. And again, having the opportunity to meet the mission families, you know that for every dollar you contribute, the March of Dimes is trying to solve the mystery of premature birth. And if they can solve it like they did polio, what a great world this is going to be. And so they've done it once before, and if they can do it again, anyone who has children, or even if you don't have children and you have a niece and nephew, you can relate to that. For us, as you said, it's an easy message to get across to our employees.
Right. All right, Stacey, so if somebody's listening right now and wants to get involved with the Chicago Charity Challenge, how do you do it?
Please go to our website. It's www.chicagochacha.org.
There you go. Tom Colton is the president of Colecraft, a company that makes baby products. Offices are in the West Loop. He was the grand prize winner's company of the 2015 Chicago Charity Challenge. Stacey Rago is the executive director of Chicago Charity Challenge. Both of you, thanks so much for coming in tonight and sharing your story.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Speaking of tournaments, we got a big guest tomorrow night, Jay Williams. He was a tournament star at Duke. He came to the Bulls to be the savior. And anyone who is a basketball fan knows that tragic story of the motorcycle accident that rendered him unable to play basketball again. Unbelievable story, and he comes clean on all of it from his point in a new book. And we're going to talk to Jay tomorrow on the download. He's going to be my guest at the big table. It's an unbelievable book. He wrote the whole story. He told all about his recovery. It took years of being bedridden, essentially. It's so painful to read. It's a great read, but it's painful, really. And just the emotions and the mental stability of having to come back from that, you know, when everyone – and then live your life. I mean, now he's an analyst for college basketball. But, you know, you come back and you know, he talks in the book about just his relationship with Chicago and Chicago fans and how it's hard to sort of look fans in the eye or to ask for forgiveness or to forgive himself about what happened here, because he was going to be a big star here in Chicago. He was a number two draft pick overall, and you know, a terrible, terrible accident ended his career. So it's interesting to have a conversation with him about that. I'm looking forward to that. Also tomorrow night, Mike Fouché will be here because we got to start talking about these local races. So I've been doing a lot of work because we're setting up to do campaign week next week, candidate week. We have all the candidates in here next week. But there's some state rep races that are starting to heat up. You know, the big newspapers are talking about Stratton versus Duncan in the 5th, which is a big one because that's a proxy. That's Rauner versus Madigan. But there's others. Bob Fioretti versus Patricia Van Pelt, state senator, the incumbent there. That's an interesting race because they both ran for mayor of Chicago. There's a couple others too that are a lot of this is interesting, and I don't think we're going to get to it, but there are a few really I guess I would say like futures bright kind of politicians, young people that are running against stalwarts, you know, that are running against people who they're not going to beat, you know, like there's a kid who's running against Danny Davis. You know, you're not going to – and it might be a good story to talk about how do you run against someone who inevitably is going to win because of name recognition. But how do you get your name out there to be a politician, to be someone who runs for office later? You know, so that's also coming up. So we got a lot of politics to cover coming up here
on the download. Also, conversation tomorrow with the Joffrey Academy, Joffrey Ballet. We'll throw some ballet in. So we're going to do basketball, politics, ballet, and then the frying pan with Steve Gadlin, who will be back with another invention, as he is every Friday night that we have a download. He will give us his latest innovation, his latest invention. We will give it a yay or a nay. That's the download tomorrow night here on 720 WGN. That's going to do it. Thanks to Pete Zimmerman. In studio tonight, Brian Noonan. I was wrong. Patty is not live from San Diego.
No, I will be playing the part of Patty Vasquez tonight.
That's amazing. I mean, she's out at the Marine boot camp. She's been doing it all week.
Yeah, that's... No, thank you. I respect the Marines. I would have a hard time going there if I had enlisted in the Marine Corps, let alone being just a civilian that they went, hey, you want to come and, you know, crawl through mud and climb stuff and
I didn't know that was a
miles?
Thing. But I've been following Patty on Instagram. You can follow her, yeah. Patty Vasquez, WGN. But it's just showing, like, all the things that you go through. I mean, you're essentially, they treat you like a soldier.
Right. Yeah, wow. It's insanity.
I can't wait to talk to her when she gets back about
if
that.
If she can even move a muscle, her jaw. Well, we're going to talk to her at 11:15. She's going to call in. She's at a bar with some Marines, so I don't know how the interview will go. I don't know how long it will last.
That's great.
But, yes, Patty will be calling at 11:15. And then we're going to talk about the CPS furloughs,
yeah,
and
right.
We're going to talk about this. I know you've heard about this. This South Carolina teacher who was forced to resign because a student stole her phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the wrong person has gotten the punishment
on this. It feels like you're going to get more and more of those stories as you mm-hmm. move forward, like sort of like this, that with technology involved.
Right. But so we're not allowed to have anything
right.
personal, because if someone steals it, it's our fault.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. So we'll have some fun,
right.
Too much serious at the
too late much
night.
Serious.
Too much serious is not my forte. So
do you like the late night shift? Do you like working?
Yeah,
on
I mean, shift? I started here doing overnights on the weekends,
right,
and
huh?
so I like. I
it's
don't
like
a
homecoming
here.
For
yeah,
you.
Yeah, during the day, there's too many people around and judgmental eyes of management and the boot on my neck.
You got to wear a tie. In, yeah. You're always at Noonan's wrong with the tie on.
Forget about it. I like coming in when it's dark and there's – I like the audience at night because they're – You know, they're loyal and they're hardcore. And
yeah.
So I like hanging out
All right.
hanging out at this
well,
hour.
Brian is the host tonight. He will take you through to 2 o'clock.